This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Number with me, Kevin the Moscow Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 228 and a midweek special for you, a quick midweek one, but not the most happiest of shows, but a second defeat in 7 days, this time against an in-form Hull City side who ended our 11-game home winning streak with a 2-1 win at St Mary's on Tuesday night. With Kevin and Tim unavailable, about to draft in another one of our super subs. Tonight is the turn of Tom Pickett from In The Channel. If you remember, we had him back on in November, episode 215, if you want to go back and check that out. It's available, so go do that if you will. And if you did listen, then you'll know that Tom has a blog called In The Channel. So Tom, welcome back, mate. Great to have you back, and thanks for coming on such short notice.
No, thank you very much for having me back on. It means that it wasn't an awful one-time show. I wasn't an idea. I've managed to get a second appearance.
No, you had a positive feedback from that one as well. So all our super subs are doing a good job of not doing that, Ali Dia. Firstly, how is life on the island for you? I heard you've got a new recruit on the way.
Yeah, so probably within the next month, there'll be a second little lad running around causing chaos in my life, as my partner and I are expecting again. There's going to be two of them under two, so please send your prayers and your thoughts.
Yeah, you do have your work cut out for you. But, I mean, on the plus side, you're on your way to building a new football team, so...
This is it, yeah, my little five-a-side.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking that maybe you could go for 11.
Oh, not sure on that one.
But, yeah, how is In The Channel anyway?
In The Channel has slightly slowed down a little bit, so I was doing maybe two blogs a week. I slowed down to maybe one or two a month, primarily just because where this new arrivals coming in, there's so much going on and so much changing. I didn't want to commit to doing two a week and try to keep that pace up when the next one's here. Whereas now I kind of just, if something bothers me or something that's particularly passionate about, I'll post about. So my most recent one was about after we conceded those 6 goals in like a game and a half of football, there's a lot of discourse online about, oh, Downs would have fixed it. Which, you know, we are a better team when Flynn Downs plays, but I wanted to look at were those goals down specific things? So stuff like that is more what I'm trying to write about now, rather than try and like get out as much as I can in a week sort of thing.
Quality definitely over quantity. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to say, that interesting piece you did. I did read that actually, with the absence of Lynn Downs and, you know, shipping three goals against Huddersfield as soon as he pretty much left the pitch, and, you know, six goals in those two games. I did read that. I found it really quite interesting, because you had your pictures as well to illustrate your thoughts. And you also talked about Will Smallbone as well, was mentioned quite a lot in the in the build up to all those goals. So not just Flynn Downs.
No, I realised as I was writing that, I was writing Smallbone's name down more and more. But yeah. I guess it's kind of because he became that six, so that he was de facto Downs, and because the goals went in, you have to think, oh well, is it Smallbone's ability as a six, which I think most Saints fans are in agreement with. He's probably more of an eight than a six.
Definitely,
but
yeah.
If he ends up in that position, then he's kind of got to be looked at. So I felt bad writing it towards Phil Smallbone, if I'm honest, because I didn't mean any malcontent towards him.
Actually, you know, I've uncovered something else here, but yeah, I get it. But yeah, I mean, we shipped another two goals without Flynn Iesta. This time, we didn't have enough to stage a comeback from two down at halftime. And not only did we lose this impressive home streak of 11, but we did find ourselves slipping down a table as a consequence. Game in hand is now gone. We're down to fourth. With Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich, well, we've all played 33 now, so it just doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, you go 22 league games undefeated and you're still not in those automatic promotion spots.
It's just how mad the Championship is this season. I think I saw a stat, and I'm ready to be corrected, but like out of the current top four, they'd be first or second in like five of the last seven seasons or something.
Yeah, you're not wrong, like that. Yeah.
So like any other year, we'd be running away with the league, but just because of how strong all three relegated sides have been, and Ipswich. It's just a crazy league.
Yeah, and you think that Ipswich were two leagues apart from us last season, and the way that they've come up, and they did have a bit of a dip a couple of weeks ago, they were slipping, but now they're picking it back up again, and you think, right, they're there for the long haul now. They're not going to, you know, have a bad spell as long as we thought. So it really does boil down to these last, 13 league games that we've got left. Everything is crucial. You know, you've got to take it one game at a time. I know that. Millwall on Saturday. Every game now has become a must, because you just don't feel... I know you're not supposed to look at any of the other teams, but you can't help it. You just think when they keep winning, you cannot afford to lose.
It bizarrely feels like it's not enough for us to do our own thing. We do need the odd favour to go our way. So that's like, I don't know if you're watching the scores coming after you left St Mary's last night, but how it unfolded at Portman Road with Rotherham getting like a 93rd minute penalty to equalise. And then Amari Hutchinson scoring in 96th minute Ipswich to win. You're seeing that and you're like, it's just not... The dice aren't falling the right way at this particular point.
No.
But what I wanted to ask you, actually, is how important do you think Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich, all away fixtures, are now? Like, because obviously I think we have to get some points in those games. What do you reckon?
That's it, isn't it? That's the key. I mean, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. Those reversed fixtures are going to be key. And I know we've already played all three of them at St Mary's. And obviously we got beat by Leicester and Ipswich. Brilliant result against Leeds, but they just seem in a different level now. I don't fancy us. I mean, can you just imagine going to Elland Road last game of the season and, you know, the winner takes that automatic promotion spot? I don't fancy that at all. I think we can do a job against Ipswich at Portman Road. I quite fancy us to take that. Because, you know, right, when you're going up against these teams, this is it. You have to treat every single one of those like a cup final. You take care of business in these matches. Like I said, we've got Milne on Saturday. You have to take care of business against them first. But, oh my goodness, that Leicester game and that Leeds game is looking so, so crucial.
And I bizarrely feel more confident about Leicester than I do Ipswich, purely because Borough have done the double over them. And I was watching like how Borough did it. I saw a Borough fan account. And they went to play three centre-backs against Leicester, which not many teams do. And we did that against West Brom with the build-up play. We had Stevens.
Yeah. On the ball, Benarac, we did, yeah.
But that's how Borough did it. So I wondered if maybe that's what we'll implement then. Again, this game is in March, but I just wondered if it's something that we might see play out.
It's definitely worth looking at. You know, we're fourth now. We have to go and take 3 points against them. You can't have anything other than that to catch up now. What, we 2 points behind Ipswich now?
I think it depends on your mentality. I think you can look at the Leicester game and go, well, if we lose to Leicester and let them run away with the league, because there's a whole different conversation to be had about who do you want to win Friday night about Leeds versus Leicester. Is it better to rein Leicester in? Is it better to let them run away? So if you're of the mindset of let them run away, you could lose to Leicester and it's, you know, it is what it is kind of mentality. But I do think one of them needs to be a win.
I don't think Russell Martin's got that mentality, though, has he? I don't think he's going to go into any of these games saying, well, we can afford to lose this one, we can afford to get a draw.
Oh, no, he wouldn't at all. But I mean, like, from a sort of managing expectations level as a fan, like, when we do our predictions in the Discord, if there's people going for a Leicester win, that's probably with a mindset of let them take the title and we'll battle out for second.
It's definitely going to be interesting looking at that as well, the predictions coming up.
You'll be able to spot the pessimists from the optimists, I'll tell you.
Goodness me, yeah. So, yes, if you are enjoying the show, then please show your support by visiting Buy Me A Coffee. buymeacoffee.com/innthatnumber. Price of a coffee will be really, really appreciated. And if you want to join our free Discord and get involved with us, the game chats, predictions, just the general chat amongst all the welcoming Saints fans that are on there, please get in touch through our various means of communication and we'll get you in. And also, Tom, you're going to be putting out regular questions on the Discord now as well to help us chew over during our news segments. If you want to be included in all that and get mentions on the show and read out, then, yeah, get in on that Discord. We're not going to do a news segment today, Tom, because I say it was we've only had a couple of days since our last show. So aside from this whole game, there's not really a lot to discuss. But you did put a question out on the Discord this week regarding Sekou Mara, your thoughts on him this season and you know, what sort of role he's getting. And I said to you that he kind of like he is getting the recognition now. He's getting more minutes, or it seems. The fans are giving him, well, he's giving him his own chant. the goals are coming. I mean, did you think back when he signed at the start of last season? So that was, July 2022. And he's played under four managers already. Because I was thinking to myself, has he been mismanaged? Is he not getting enough minutes? But actually looking back on it, Ralph, Jones, Sayers, and now Martin, they are giving him minutes. They are giving him the time. I mean, last season he played 30 games, but with only 9 starts. And he had 2 goals with 3 assists. And under Russell Martin, he's had 25 games so far, 7 starts, and he's got 6 goals already this season. So he's had 2 less starts under Martin, but more than double the amount of goals. So the production is coming, and he's getting his time. I think the fans are getting off his back a little bit more now the production is coming along.
Yeah, I completely agree. As a striker, you're primarily going to be looked at by your output, aren't you? And last season, in a season where you go down, if you're the sort of really the sole striking option we've brought in, you're going to be looked at in a harsher light. And I think it's fair to say he was mismanaged last season, particularly by Ruben Selles, because we were crying out for a goal scorer. And towards the back end of the season, we were starting with like the 4-2-2-2 with the front two being Alcaraz and Walcott, neither of whom are recognised strikers, really. So you've got to worry about why is Mara being put down a pecking order. But if Thierry Henry, a Premier League great, is going to pick for the France under-21s, there's got to be something about you. And I think we're starting to see that now with Russell Martin.
I never thought that he was being mismanaged by any of them. I thought he was getting his time, but not necessarily starts. He was getting, 10 minutes off the bench, which isn't going to help anyone, especially in the position that we were in last season, where we were largely losing games when he came on. And some of the comments that we had on our Discord, it says he's slowly developing and getting better. Still not an Ings replacement, but, he can be one for the future. And let's not, forget that he's only 21. He's still really young. He seems like he's been here a lot longer than 2 seasons as well. Kevin McGee added, I'm happy enough with him. He's a good squad player, scored a few goals. I'd like to see him get a few more. Is it a confidence thing with him, Tom? Because since the start of the year, Martin has upped his production. He seems more happy on the field. And if you look at that Watford replay at home, he was special in that second half. And that second goal was some hit. And I just think that there's a comfort zone with him. If we do have an injury up top and Mara has to come in, I'd like there to be more optimism to see him in that starting 11.
I think he's such an instinctive sort of striker. If you look at the goals that he's scored, like if you look at Man City in the League Cup going really far back here.
Oh, yeah.
Here, right? That was like on the half volley, first time, swept it in. Look at the goals against Watford. He didn't have time to think. And again, the goal against Huddersfield, the one to make it 4.
The swivel when he turned.
Yeah, the swivel. Again, yeah. That's an instinctive just striker gets ball, shoots. That's when he's at his best, I think. And he's only at his instinctive best when he's confident. Right, I think we saw him sort of dilly-dally on the ball, like trying to get the best shooting position. And often that would lead to him not getting a shot off. But when he's just, headstrong, shoots, that's when he's at his best. So I think that's when Yeah, that's got to be down to confidence, surely. Because if you're a confident striker, you're just shooting on sight because you trust your ability to get the ball in the net.
Last season, okay, so he had a total of 555 minutes for 2 goals. This season, his minutes are down, actually, right now. But, you know, 13 league games left to play. So he's got more goals. They are coming. But amazingly, he's had the same amount of shots in both seasons. But last season, only 4 shots on target with a percentage of 23%. Whereas this season, he's up to 53%. So, yeah, more goals, more shots on target. But against Hull, I mean, this game just gone, he only had 11 touches. He was taken off at half-time. And it seems if we're not playing well, then he's not. And if we're on a rampage, then you fancy him. He's not exactly a game changer just yet, is he? I mean, he's not going to come off the bench in a difficult position and turn things around like a Ryan Fraser or a David Brooks.
It was slightly disappointing, yeah, that his performance in the whole first half yesterday. Because against West Brom, he didn't get that goal output, but you could see his hold-up play was there. So he's collecting a driven pass in from the centre-back, laying it sideways to Charles or Armstrong. You could see his involvement in the game. I think the whole game wasn't the right game to play him in. I really respected Martin for keeping with him after a strong performance, but I just don't think it was the right side for him to play against just yet in his development. Because as you say, he's not an Ings in terms of going to conjure something up out of nothing. He's not a Lambert where he's the target you can hit. He kind of needs to be in the right positions and in the right, sadly, mood. And just wasn't there for him last night.
But then again, you know, Shea being injured, he was just coming back into the team. What else could you have done? You wouldn't play him over a fit Shea Adams.
No, not at all at this point.
No. Okay, so more Discord questions.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come up. But a wonderful bit of news this week was Calvin Davis, the new Eastleigh manager. I love that. I mean, he took over on, was it Monday night? Yeah, it's only a short-term deal. But if things go well, then, I mean, well, who knows? And he's joined by Danny Butterfield, who will act as his assistant. But he started very well yesterday. So he signed Monday night, go away to Oxford City on Tuesday night, and you come away with a 5-2 win. 5-0 up after the hour. Easy, this management malarkey, isn't it?
Yeah, why do Rivers tell us make it look so hard?
No!
such a lovely guy, such a great servant to our club. And I think it's great that he's gone to Eastleigh in terms of, because there is that sort of tenuous link between Eastleigh and Southampton just because of the sheer geography of the two places. Lots of Saints fans, like perhaps you do it yourself, like, so when Southampton are at home, you go with your season ticket, and if Saints are away, Eastleigh are at home, you pop down to watch Eastleigh. So I think it's good from that sort of Hampshire altogether mentality, if you will.
I
find it quite funny, actually. I don't know if you remember, but when I was on the pod last time, we were talking about the Bristol City game, the home one, and I accidentally said Liam Manning was from Oxford City, not Oxford United. So the fact that we're talking about an Oxford City match on my only second appearance on a pod means that maybe I should start an Oxford City podcast. I don't know what you think.
Wow. Yeah, that was, I corrected you on that. I do remember that, actually, because you said Oxford City. Yeah, I do remember that. Wow. Well remembered. Yeah.
I'm doing my bit for Oxford City.
Yeah, don't do an Oxford City podcast. It can be nothing but trouble, trust me. But yeah. you lose 5-2 at home to Eastleigh. Yeah.
Also, do you have time for a quick quiz question on, there is an actually ex-Saints defender still at Eastleigh. Do you know who it
that's
is?
That's Aaron Martin, isn't he? He's the captain.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
Old Boys Network.
Yeah. Actually, I took Tim to Silver Lake when he was here a couple of weeks ago.
I thought you liked him.
No, it was good. It was nice. But yeah, we have some positive news on Juan Larios. Remember him? Yeah, it's just a horrible rehab time for him. You know, he's had setback after setback. He's been back in training, then he's been back out again. But apparently he is back. He's in the building, as they say. So he will be training very soon. And there is a chance, actually, that we could see him return before the season's end. So that's a great bit of news for him. And that left-back position is... we don't have a backup, do we?
Well, that's the thing. It depends if you look at Magoma or not. Because I was actually going to ask you, with Larios coming back in, has the sort of unexpected rise of Magoma kind of made it harder for him to get himself in the squad? Because not only Magoma's looked good in the two Watford encounters, but James Bree obviously deputised there when Manning was suspended. So I think left-back, bizarrely, has all of a sudden got four names you can throw in the ring.
I don't class James Bree as a left-back. I think he's just been shoehorned in there because he's had to. I still put him as a backup to Kai Walker-Peters. But yeah, Magoma, I mean, great. And I said on the Discord, actually, that I wouldn't mind if he started a few games instead of Manning, because I think defensively he's been a treat. He's done everything that he's asked to do. He looks really good. But I think, I don't know, him and Larios, it's going to be quite interesting between the two of them, isn't it? And I don't know if any of them are going to be playing any minutes for the under-21s. Maybe Larios definitely will. But... it will be interesting to see if they can, you know, especially if we don't go up and we lose Ryan Manning, perhaps, then, you know, those two are going to be battling it out for that number one left back spot.
Yeah, very true. But say, for example, we do go up, Manning stays as first choice left back. Do you think one of them would have to go out on loan for development issues?
I think they would. I think Magoma would probably have to go out on loan. I think Larios, although we don't know if Russell Martin likes Larios, because we haven't had the chance to see him. So I don't know. But I think before Larios was injured, we saw a bit of him in the first team. So I think the whole fact that he's, you know, that Man City background as well, I think he'll get the start over Magoma at the moment. But I mean, that could change.
Yeah, very, very, very true. He was part of that Man City quartet, and he's the only one that hasn't really sort of caught fire. It's obviously Bazunu's number one now. Adozie's one of our hottest wingers. Lavia, obviously, sadly gone. And just Larios is the forgotten man.
Shay Charles as well.
Yeah, I was just talking about the July 2022 when we bought the four in.
Yes, of course.
That amount of time. But yes, of course, and Shay Charles as well. We actually do have a Man City five aside then. Because Lavia wants to come back and do something for charity.
Yeah. Tom, we go straight into this whole City game then. From Tuesday night, looking for a 10th consecutive home win in the league, 12 if you include Warsaw and Watford in the FA Cup. First time we've had a run like that since 2011. But more importantly, you know, take this game in hand and keep the pressure on Leicester. But it was just a very poor first half performance. It saw us lose two goals again. We just couldn't scrape back. And as a result, like I said, we slipped to fourth. Joe Rebo off the bench with that. It turned out to be a consolation goal in the end, but at the point there was still a chance that we could have got back into the game. And I have to admit, when they put up 6 minutes of stoppage time, I thought we were going to get a 2-2 draw out of this. The way that we were playing and the way that Hull took off a midfielder and brought a defender on, they were, you know, backs to the wall. I thought Saints can do this, you know. But yeah, it turned out to be a consolation. But the starters, Tom, three changes from that West Brom win. Manning, Rothwell, and Adozie all back in. Stevens, Charles and Fraser dropped to the bench. Still no Flynn Downs, but Shay back on the bench. Were you happy with that 11?
Initially, yeah, I wasn't too disheartened by it. I probably would have preferred to see Shay Charles in, because as we're having a chat at the very start of this show about a traditional number six, it's Downs or Charles. For me, one of them kind of needs to be in just for that defensive solidity. I know Charles has had a couple of sloppy passing, but his ability to read the passing lanes, he's still top-notch at. So I thought maybe we might have seen him instead of Rothwell. But overall, I thought that's a team that should be all right.
Yeah, so did I. But yeah, it was just another slow and dogged start, wasn't it? I mean, I will say one thing. Liam Rossini had a clear game plan, and he set it out, and it worked just perfectly.
But yeah, we did it. Hull were excellent.
They were, and I don't think there's enough that's being made out of that, to be honest. It's just all doom and gloom because we've been beaten. We had a really, really slow start. But Hull, defensively... And they were catching us all the time. I thought they were excellent. And I knew, you know, it was a clear game plan that worked for him. But we did have an early chance. Joe Rothwell, Smallbone wins the ball up high from the press. And it falls to Rothwell. And he couldn't take full advantage of it. But, yeah, he probably should have scored that.
No, I completely agree. If you actually, like, if you watched the match, that first chance was almost a carbon copy of Hull's second goal in terms of press up high, get the ball, one touch, and then shot. And if that chance goes in, you got to say completely different game.
Yeah, I do think that could have changed the game, but they got the first goal. Of course, it was an Anas Zahrouri. It was a Philogene shot. It was parried into the path of Zahrouri. Easy finish, but yeah, caught on the counter, which seemed to be the main thing that Hull were catching us on. But poor goalkeeping from Bazunu, or just poor, you know, spacing, letting them get through us.
I think it started way before Bazunu, if I'm honest. No. As the ball's played sort of down the left channel, I remember talking to my partner. I was like, why is no one putting pressure on the ball here? And there didn't seem to be pressure on the ball at any point, really, which was just quite bizarre. And then obviously, to be fair, Bazunu probably could have put it more out of the danger zone, but if you're not going to put pressure on the ball, you're just inviting pressure onto yourself. I think with Huddersfield, it was slightly different because they were exploiting space outside of our fullbacks. And this was in the piece that I wrote in terms of their first goal. They switched it from right to left, and then one pass later, left to right. And where we shuffled, there was just that space left. Whereas this whole one, it was all relatively direct, like down sort of the central sort of central left. And then they just worked their way across without any pressure. And surely at some point, and maybe this is where Downs could have been useful last night, is he would have just clipped someone, you know, give away the free kick, you reset.
It was a cynical one, yeah.
Yeah, the best kind.
Yeah. But yeah, not a good parry, not a good way to spend your 22nd birthday as well for Gavin Bazunu. So, but there was just no cutting edge with the ball, and Hull looked dangerous on the counter, as you've just mentioned. Like, Philogene was getting on the ball a lot. I mean, I can see why. Using his pace, scary player, that guy. He's going to be a good player.
They picked him up for $5 million as well. That's going to be a lot more on the way out the door than it was on the
left. Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's going to be a top talent. And Irma had a chance as well, created from another counter attack. So they were getting lots of Philogene and lots of using his pace, as I say, lots of counter attacking, and they were creating a lot of chances. Seems to have a lot of space. But yeah, you'd think like after going a goal down, that you'd have to be, you know, more, you'd have to show that more intensity, but it just seemed to slow down again. And that was a concern.
Yeah, it really was. I know we're not going to change our style of play for one goal. Ross and Martin said that before, but what I think we expect now is if we're not going to change our style of play, at least let's change up the intensity. Let's get battling a bit harder and run a bit harder. But that just didn't seem to materialise. I don't know what you thought.
Well, I mean, it didn't. Exactly. And I thought, One goal would give us a kick up the ass. They're tightening things up, stop the counter attack, and just have more of a go at them. The second goal was 36th minute from Fabio Carvalho. This was dreadful. This is the downside to Martin Ball, isn't it? Mistake in possession. Hull pressed high, walked into a trap, and again another easy finish for them. And Joe Rothwell just like ran out of space, didn't know what he was doing, and easy finish for Carvalho.
I don't think we ran into them, we ran into ourselves. I think Rothwell collides with Bednarak and the ball just spews out to Philogene, who just lays it slightly forward to Carvalho. And then, 2-0. And you look around going, God, we need another, not miracle, but certainly another Joe Rothwell moment.
Yeah, and it didn't look like it was coming, to be honest. I mean, you thought, maybe we could pull them back against Huddersfield, but you're 2-0 down to Hull. They're a much better side than Huddersfield, and playing like it as well. And, it could have been more because they were cutting through us with speed at will. And Zahrouri had a hatful of chances. I mean, they were saying on the comms that he could have had a hat trick, more counter attacks, and it just big trouble. And still, there was slow build up. Bazunu's distribution was bad. Now, I want to talk about that as well, because every single time that we were trying to play out from the back, we seemed to be pressed. And every time Bazunu kicked the ball out, it just went out of play all the time. And it was like, what are they doing now?
It looked like we were trying to beat the press from a goalkeeping point of view, but the defence wasn't acknowledging that was the change. So there seemed to be this huge gap between sort of Mara and Adam Armstrong and then the players behind them. And occasionally Adozie was being picked out and, maybe slightly too long, slightly too short. But there just seemed a huge disconnect between being the team at that point.
Yeah, just what are we doing right now? Nobody seems to know, or everyone's got different opinions of what we're doing. But there was a decision I really want to talk about that wasn't picked up enough, I don't think, in the highlights or in the game, was the handball in the box.
Part of this.
First half stoppage
time. EFL refereeing.
THB supposedly pushing Coyle, but there's minimal contact, really minimal. And Defender, I just said it on the Discord, that the Defender will always get the benefit of the doubt there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, like, when across from the box, there's natural jostling of, like, trying to get yourself best position. And Harbellis does have an arm sort of cocked to get his best positioning. And apparently a sniper in St. Mary's took out that whole Defender because he just went down. Arms up in the air, flailing. And if he had jumped for it normally without flailing his arms, he probably would have just headed it clearly. But because he properly threw himself and committed to the bit, that's where the handball came from. I think a sterner ref would have seen that he's tried to buy this, and in doing that, it's just clattered his hand. That should have been a penalty.
It's a big risk to take, though, isn't it, as a defender? You feel a little bit of contact, and you're thinking, I'm going to go down. But if I don't get this right, I'm either going to give a goal away or a penalty. But it worked for them. I just don't think that enough was made of that. And I think that could have a goal there, you know, you're going in the break at 2-1 down, coming out second half revitalised, it could have done us the world of good.
It's almost the like flip of the West Brom incident with Jack Stevens, where we got away with one there and we didn't get one there. And this is the annoying counter argument to VAR, is it balances itself out.
I hate
it. The season. And this is where it's balanced itself out at the worst possible time, where we could have done with a penalty kick with like 30 seconds of the first half to go. Instead, there's a time wasting opportunity for them to see out the first half at 2-0.
Yeah, I hate that. Oh, it balances it out. It's just it should never be like that. But yeah, you're right. Terrible first half. We just couldn't get things going at all. Hull winning so many balls back in our area as well before we had any time to develop anything. And I said it at the start of this as well, Hull, give them credit, because they pressed well, they countered at will, and they defended well as well. And I was interested to see the stats at half time, because I thought, oh, this is going to be one of those games where, you know, Hull are going to dominate the shots, are going to possibly, we're going to be down on possession as well. And that was the case. We had 51% possession in that first half. That is quite low for us. Well, I don't remember I don't remember a lower one than that from a first half. Three shots to their 11, one shot on target to their 4. So completely dominated the game. Deserved to be 2-0 up.
No, it's one of the, I'd like to say one of those first halves, but given the Huddersfield, it's now one of two first halves where it's just not gone our way at all.
Is it a whole playing the perfect game that we want to play? They were possession, passes, counter, speed, intent, and they had pretty much the same possession, as I say, but more than double the shots. More passes, more importantly, two goals as well. And it probably could have been more, to be fair. It probably could have been.
It definitely should have been. Should have been more to Hull. And when you consider how empty their away end was, those fans that tracked down from Hull, they saw a hell of a first half show.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent from them, yeah. Martin shuffled his deck. Three subs at the half. Not sure we've seen him do that. I can't think, maybe you can correct me, I can't think of a time that we've done that.
He's definitely done double changes, but I don't think he's done triple at half time.
So Adams, Aribo and Brooks all on for Rothwell, whose error, of course, led to the second goal. Adam Armstrong off and Mara, who was very well. Adam Armstrong and Mara were very, very quiet, as I mentioned as well. Only 11 touches for Mara. Not great, but it was better instantly. And Brooks' movement is vital in our build up. And we just seem to be, I don't know, we did seem quite revitalised. We were pressing a lot quicker. It seemed to be something was coming, I thought.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, people have known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors. Pineapple Daiquiri, Strawberry Margarita, Mango Mai Tai, and Passion Fruit Hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
Yeah, I really, really like the changes that Russell Martin made at halftime, because there's been a stick to beat him with has been that he's loyal to certain players, a la like the Jack Stevens thing where he played against Norwich where he probably didn't need to. He ended up shoving Kyle Walker-Peters far too far forward. Mm. But to take Adam Armstrong off, the guy that you made captain in lieu of Jack Stevens and has been scoring all these goals, it took a lot of a lot of bollocks, if you don't mind me saying, on this podcast.
You can say whatever the fuck you want on this podcast.
I took a lot of bollocks to take off Adam Armstrong at halftime in a home game. So I did admire that, and it shows that he knew that he possibly got his selection wrong, which is good to see. Like, you don't want your manager to get your selection wrong, but, you know, it's good to see that they're reacting to it.
His substitutions recently have been excellent. Everything that he's made, it seems to be paying off, because he's got, he said he doesn't have a very big squad, but the players that we've got, there always seems to be a strong bench. You always feel like, oh, we've got Fraser to come on, we've got Brooks to come on, we've got Rebo that can come on, we've got Shea Adams that can come on. You've got all these bench players, or potentially, you know, starters. So we have got a really, really strong bench, and everything that he's doing right now in terms of substitutions seems to be, you know, right on the money. And we did see before the hour as well, we saw a fourth change, and Ryan Fraser come on for a dozy. I probably expected that one at halftime, if I'm being completely honest.
I've just think out of the three attackers, a dozy was the one that was looking likely to do something, and the other two really weren't. So I got a dozy staying on for like a little bit longer, purely because out of the three attackers, he was at least an outlet, whereas Mara and Adam Armstrong, sadly, it just wasn't their day.
No, just right out of sorts. But getting more success still. I thought, I mean, Adams and Manning had like half chances. Brooks had one at the end of a goalmouth scramble as well. It just went over the top of the bar. So we were having it. And Tom, was there any part of you that thought, you know, we were going to get back into this game? We were going to make it, you know, really, really tough 10 minutes or so? Or did you feel like, no, this is 2-0. It's not going to be our day?
One of the great joys since Russell Martin has taken over our club is that I never feel like we're out of it. Like, just because of, basically just look at the history, like the amount of late goals we've scored and how strong we are with players off the bench.
Yeah,
like,
no one's leaving now. St Mary's early. No one's been doing that at all.
No one's smart. I saw on their coverage there were a few that left at like 71. And I thought, unless we're in the last train somewhere, why have you done that?
Yeah.
But yeah, back to my point. I felt that something could happen, and particularly intensity. Joe Aribo, God, I never thought I'd say intensity and Joe Aribo in the same sentence. But what he brought in that second half was, there was effort. That was a man who's annoyed he didn't win the AFCON, and he's battling.
Mm. Yeah, and it did come. 88th minute, Aribo had to work incredibly hard for it, but it did make for an interesting ends there. But then, we nearly let a third one in, because Philogene had a chance, but it was blocked by, I think it was Howard Bellis, actually, who got in the way and blocked it. But then we get the 6 minutes added on time, and I'm thinking, rubbing my hands together, I like this. We're going at them. They're bringing the defender on. They're worried. They're panicking. They're tired as well. They're leggy. They look like they're going to break. And I thought, we've got plenty of time. Let's do this. They went all out defensive. I think it was Philogene actually that came off. And yeah, a pressure was applied. And I love these moments in the game when you're chasing it, because you feel like at any moment it can happen. And we've done it a lot of times this season. But it just didn't come off. I think another couple more minutes and maybe we would have got something.
Yeah, we kept going to the end, and that's something you can't fault the players for. And like you say, because we've done it so many times, you're at least going, oh, come on, there's a chance. Even Preston away, what we send Bazunu up for a corner late on, it goes in the net. So there's just that constant sense of it could happen. And it is truly the hope that kills, isn't it?
it certainly is. But yeah, another frustrating result, really. Just didn't have enough and spirited second half, but the damage was done in that first half. But Hull defended brilliantly in that second half as well, because, as I say, they were tired. They held us off, and you just think, if that Rothwell chance had gone in at 0-0, then it would have been different. And if that penalty had gone in just before the half, would have been different as well. But Joe Rothwell, so after the highs from Huddersfield, and with quite possibly the goal of the season, Tuesday's efforts were not really up there. Seems to be going backwards and forwards with him. And I mean, he should have given us the lead, caught in possession for Hull's second, came off for a Aribo at half time. And by contrast, I mean, he made the difference, because you said he was the intensity that he brought. I guess he was asked to do a different role, though, because at the break compared to a start. But Aribo led on every single stat over Rothwell. He had the three tackles to Rothwell's naught. He had more shots, passes, touches, carries. Not one of Rothwell's better performances. But I don't know. Is he still struggling, do you think, to come to terms with this style of play?
I think we've got to Joe Rothwell, to go the long way around. Charlie Alcaraz, maybe in Turin, but but the hot and cold nature of the player has re-embodied itself in Joe Roffler. Because there's moments where I watch him in a system, I'm like, yeah, you're involved, you're fluid, you know exactly what you're doing. And there's other moments where, like, he, obviously with the goal, he ran into Bednarak, and I'm like, are you familiar with the concept of what we're doing here? But I don't know, I think possibly he's ended up playing more minutes than we imagined he would, if that makes sense.
Oh.
He was brought in, obviously, as a midfield option. Downs being injured has obviously kept him out of three games now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, obviously, you'd assume that Downs will start over Rothwell if we have a fully fit squad. So perhaps maybe he's just had more minutes than anticipated, and it's just highlighted that he's not at the same level as a Downs, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hopefully that. I don't dislike him at all. I think he's a good player. I think he can work, but I just think I'm not saying he cost us this game, because he didn't, but there was just certain things that he wasn't doing that, yeah, like running into Bednarik's not the best of things to do, but yeah. And if you look at the stats at the end of the game, 68% possession to their 32, so we did pick it up in that second half. 16 shots to their 14, overtook them on that. Both had 4 shots on target. Our XG was 1.7 to their 1.2, so does suggest that we probably, you know, I don't know, would 2-2 have been a fair result?
I think based on the fact that football is a game of two halves and both sides would have had two good halves, yes, a draw would have been fair. In terms of how poor the first half was, I think it would have been very fortunate of us to have taken a point yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think our first half was definitely worse than their second half.
Yes, I agree.
Russell Martin said that the first half was rubbish. The second half was very good, but that doesn't matter very much when you're 2-0 down. No one cares if you play well in the second half when you aren't good in the first and are behind. Hull were good, but we knew that from the first game. Their goal is something we worked on in training yesterday, as we've seen them do it a lot. So to allow that to happen is absolute nonsense. Last week's defeat was down to a lack of aggression. This week was down to a lack of courage. The two things you need is courage and aggression. Seen that? He said that quite a lot this season, courage and aggression on different times that we've lost. But yeah, that must be frustrating for a manager when you know you implement a plan, you know exactly what Hull are going to do, and they just do exactly what you worked on, and it doesn't work. It must be frustrating as a manager.
Definitely. Because Martin is the sort of manager that holds a grudge. I don't know if you remember how much he's referenced that Rotherham game since then. So part of me wonders if we were to end up down the playoff route and ended up with Hull, I'd actually feel quite confident, just because if you look at how he blew Rotherham away, because he was so uptight about the draw against them at home, would this piss him off to that same extent that he'd have sleepless nights just to one-up Limerick Senior?
Oh, my God, that is a very good point. Yeah, I take that. Yeah, I think that's a great point. Man of the match for you. I'll let you go first.
This is really going to annoy Tim, but because he only played 45 minutes, but you know how out of time was, but I'm gonna have to go Rebo.
You can't not, right? But well, you can't not give it to a person that you can't give it to anybody in that first half.
Yeah. Yeah.
That there has to be someone from that second half, and the subs made the difference. So yeah, I know what you mean. But from anyone in that first half, like you say, but the game changed when we brought them on. So Joe Rebo, he's looking good in his, you know, both games that he's come back.
Does he start Saturday?
Yes, he does for me. Yeah. What else can he do? I mean, he's come on.
Yeah,
he had 45 minutes yesterday. I think he had about half an hour against West Brom. He's come on both times and he's been brilliant. He got the goal, but I'm gonna go different. I mean, I probably would have gone Aribo if you hadn't said him, but I'm gonna go David Brooks because I think he has to start as well, and I think he makes things happen. So I just think he moves all over the place. And he must be an absolute fucking nightmare to defend against. You don't know where he's going to pop up. His runs are so, so good. And I just think if David Brooks had played 90 minutes yesterday, 90 minutes of that, we would have won the game. Well, maybe not won, but we would have come away with something.
I think Brooks is a great shout as well. And it poses the question that I'm going to give to you now. Your front three against Millwall, if you're having Brooks play, I'm assuming, wide right, what's your other two?
I happen to like what Adozie's done since he's come back from injury, but I don't think he was great there. I do like Ryan Fraser as well. You can't drop Adam Armstrong. I would play Adam Armstrong
at half time.
Yeah, I meant, yeah, but his goals and his input this whole season, I think.
From the start, you probably can't.
I would probably play Adam Armstrong as the number nine through the middle. I'd play Brooks wide right, and I'd play Fraser wide left.
There you go, Russell Martin. Take notes. Ray Hunt has spoken.
I don't think we've seen enough from Sulemana since he's been back from injury either. I don't think he's done enough to give himself a shout, not even over a dozy.
So I agree about Brooks on the wide right. I'd probably go Adam Armstrong again, just for what we're saying about, like, he's got so many goals and assists that if you need to pull him, that's fine. You pull him from the game, but you need to have your strongest offense player playing. And then wide left, I'm probably going to go Adozie, just because I quite like the way that he can beat a man a bit more than Fraser is. Fraser's quite direct, like he runs straight line, will go past the player, but not with trickery. Whereas I like that Adozie can kind of, like, you know, fake shot here, fake cross there, and get around his man.
It's a very good point. And I do like Fraser as a super sub.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables Fruit Snacks. Have fun. Eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
I think he comes on and makes a difference off the bench. But no, I think I'd still go with Fraser because I just think he's, yeah.
We will have a difference between our two lineups. We can't have the same blanket one.
No, that's true, yeah. So, yeah, that table situation, as I say, we've gone down to fourth and 33 games played, 120, drawn 7 and lost 6 now. 64 points down to fourth, even on games now, though. So, like you mentioned, like these fixtures are going to be so important, the reverse fixtures. But, yeah, before we let you go, I know on the Discord you've given your prediction for Millwall, but for the benefit of our listeners, what's going to happen on Saturday? What's your prediction? What do you hope to see in that starting lineup? And what's your score prediction?
Oh God, putting me on the spot here. I've completely forgotten what my score prediction is because the way that we do two matches in a week, and between me and my partner, is we pick one each and we go for it. And Millwall was what Georgia has selected, and she's either gone 3-0 or 3-1. Yeah, so 3-1. So I think Millwall is struggling at the moment. Yeah. And our quality's got to come through. And if we give the players that have earned their starts in Aribo and Brooks, I just see us having too much quality. If we can get a nice early goal, I feel confident. I actually see it being bizarrely a bit of a carbon copy of, do you remember Birmingham City at home?
Mm-hmm.
Where we won 3-1, went 2-0 up, let in a bit of a sloppy one, but scored with it 5 minutes to go, sort of killed a tie. I see it being similar to that, to be honest. Go 2-0 up, sort of cruise. Silly mistake, because we know we've got one of them in us. Absolutely a 2-0 up. And then, yeah, I think we'll nab a third later on.
Excellent. Let's hope that goes. So that means it's going to be a Zion Fleming hat-trick and we lose 3-0 then. But yes.
Undoubtedly.
So that's about it for this midweek show. We'll have more after that Millwall game. And let's say we hit previews and everything else that we do. So for now, thanks, Tom. You're being as impactful as a Joe Aribo. And again, for the short notice, and I hope to have you back very, very soon. So, yeah.
Happy to come back whenever you need me.
Excellent. And we look forward to your next Discord question and your social media. So until next time, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Podcast Network.